Yes, Lord, we sing your praise, Lord. We just thank you for this day. We worship you today. We're just so thankful for all the blessings that you've poured out on us. Lord, we're so thankful for the life that you've given us. You're the best Father. There's no one like you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your obedience. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for the life you give us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would choose to live in us, to live in us, to help us, to comfort us, to guide us, Lord. We thank you for that today and every day. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, God, that you're the living God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you right now together, Lord. We just thank you. Just sing praises to you. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're the Holy One of Israel. You're our God, our King, our Lord, our friend, our Savior, the lover of our souls. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Just as we continue to worship, have some exciting pictures from Brazil and a video. There you see Pastor Bill and Pastor Maria Pat with Dr. Inez Nunes, who's the director of our Frontline Brazil, and they're having a little bite to eat, it looks like there. I don't know if you want to switch to the next one, Angela. And then this is in our worship center. Yes. Meeting with Joe from in the red hat, that's Robson, and then Joe Cabeggi behind, and then Inez, and then Amanda, and then closest to us here is Janelle. And so just kind of meeting for, they get together before the outreach every Saturday and just get in the Word and pray and worship. And they went through Holy Clubs 1 and Holy Clubs 2 and the Song of Solomon. They've been going through all of that. So just every Saturday they've been meeting, which is really awesome. And Pastor Mary Patton Hobson. And next. And Pastor Bill and Janelle and Hobson. Yes. So there's the group of them there. So, and that's in our new room that we purchased. So we can thank the Lord for that. So we needed $6,000 to purchase that. And all of that came in. So thank you guys so much. Plus about $500. So yeah, clap offering to the Lord. And so there's a bit of remodeling to be done to take out that wall and take out that roof. Actually, we do want to take that out. Oh, and we have a video here if we've got some audio on that, Andrew. So I'll just restart that. It's supposed to be a video with audio. Live pictures. Yeah. Who would want a picture in a video without, like, words? Like, with the Samsungs, you actually get audio. Sorry, you know, I mean, moving pictures, you know, you guys, iPhones back in the moving picture days. Right. There's no sound. iPhone. It's coming. They say it's coming. So like I said, we did raise all the money to buy the other building next to it. We're still, to be honest, we're going to need $2,000 or $3,000 to remodel that and take out the wall and put up the roof the rest of the way. And then, so they finished painting this. So this is the two. It looks really funny in whatever panoramic thing they just did. That's actually not a circular. It's not a corner. It looks like it's a circle the way that is, but that's actually a flat wall. Flat. Someone did some kind of weird, that's probably an iPhone thing. They can't make things flat. Let's try again. But the one to the right of them, or their left, our right, is the one we just built. And you can see how the roof line is higher. And I really think that's a wire and not a crack through the building, but the iPhone obviously couldn't quite delineate that very well. Must not have a high enough megapixel camera or something. So, do we have another picture, or is that it, Angela? That's it? Okay. So...
Okay, we're here in City of God. So, Dr. Travis, we're so excited to see John Yeo. So happy to be here, and we're in our third building. Woo-hoo!
Yay!
We're so excited. We've already had our tears and greeting and kisses and hugs. And now we've asked John Yeo and Robeson to tell us what their ideas are, because they've been designing what will happen with this third building. So... Joe is going to ask you, don't understand too much yet, but what are you thinking? What are you thinking about the stairs and the walls and things? She will translate.
O que você está pensando sobre as escadas, paredes?
A gente tinha um plano de colocar, ela assim, não sei direito, mas a escada seria melhor aqui. E se fosse deixar o banheiro...
Não,
aquele mesmo.
A questão seria o quê? A gente tem que derrubar essa parede aqui, esse banheiro, a gente quebraria, a parede saía. A escada sairia daqui, subiria pra lá.
E o banheiro também.
Aí embaixo, embaixo seria o banheiro aqui, seria um armário.
They think just to turn this wall down, my finger. And yeah, and build stairs here, on this room.
Oh, you want to show us something?
Você quer mostrar para eles algo?
Sim.
Uhum.
Oh, he's got a diagram.
Oh.
Yeah. So, Janiel, where do you think the steps should be for the second story?
Onde você acha que as escadas elas devem ser construídas para ir para o segundo andar?
Começar por aqui. Ela vem, começa aqui, sobe.
He thinks to start here, so you go up and you turn a little
you
bit.
You go up and you turn.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. E no meio espaço onde vai ficar entre o banheiro e a escada, um armário para
and,
colocar okay. Objetos, instrumentos que for preciso.
I understand.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. The middle, he thinks to put like. Okay, say something that you can store all the things.
Storage.
Yeah, storage.
Yeah.
To put all the things that we need. So.
Good, I'm going there. Very good. That's so great. Should we keep these windows? Do you think janelas?
What? Sorry?
Devemos manter as janelas?
Sim.
Sim.
E, no segundo andar, a gente estava até brincando e o Robson. A gente estava brincando que quando a gente fizer o segundo andar, a gente vai colocar uma janela voltada para o leste, que é onde fica Jerusalém.
Okay.
E toda vez quando começar o expediente do trabalho, a gente começar andando para o leste.
He is saying that they were thinking to, on the second floor, to build a window with the direction to the east. Because it's where Jerusalem is, so they can start the job praying.
Praying.
So yeah,
good. And on the wall in the first one that we have, which is the second one that we bought, we're going to have the map of the world with the great big wave coming. So we will have this place for intercession and worship and whatever else the Lord has. So, Amen. Did you want to show us something on your cell phone?
Você quer nos mostrar?
Ou posso pegar o computador e apaguei as fotos.
Oh, good. He's not here. So
okay.
Maybe later.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So... So some ideas and planning, you know, we'll be looking at that more, I'm sure, as we get down there. And hopefully we'll be able to start that construction work and, you know, obviously taking out a wall, raising the roof, and, well, destroying the roof, raising the roof, put it all this time with purpose and intentionality. But seriously, though, thank you guys for everything you did to provide for buying the house, buying that room so we could expand that. It's so needed. As those who haven't been there yet are going to see in a week and a half. So you can put that in the offering. It's just Frontline Brazil or Worship Center Brazil. And just, again, whatever the Lord puts on your heart's fine. So I don't know if there's any other announcements. I know we have a special guest speaker, the Dr. Joshua Jacque, is going to be doing that. Jamie's trying to make an announcement to me with a paper that she's flashing at me that I can't see from here, and I forget what it is. Oh, it's talking about the House of Prayer, because our House of Prayer leaders are currently seeking the Lord in Florida right now. They felt called by the Lord to leave early Thursday morning, right about the time the snow came. Sure that those prayerful people had no leading on that one. But we do have our House of Prayer 2019 calendar that kind of shows the different opportunities we have for prayer and for fasting this year. So I believe our first Lighthouse Prayer is actually this Friday. And those dates are on there. It's just on a Friday night for an hour and a half. And then our next watch of the all-night watch of the Lord from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. is March 15th. So just think it's a month before taxes. So April 15th is taxes. Well, a month earlier, we're going to give it to Jesus for the night and go from that. What's that? It's the Ides of March. Obviously, as we, read through this, but again, just really, there's been a refreshing call towards just, really digging back into prayer combined with fasting and just the power of that. If you haven't read either the Jesus Fast book or the Mahesh Shavda, The Hidden Power of Prayer and Fasting, those are both great resources. But just an encouragement to seek the Lord, what the Lord would have you do in that area, especially as we have the corporate times of fasting. So you can read that on the paper. Do we have a bunch of these, Jamie, we could pass around, actually? Just so everyone, yeah, let's pass them around. That way, no one is left behind. Everyone who is present today, I'm taking attendance, will know that they had a paper. So, is that all that you had in particular for?
Oh, yeah, so
okay. Oh, and that, yeah, so the coming up before the all-night watches of the Lord, we've traditionally offered like a three-day fast going up, so starting like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, going up to that all-night watch of the Lord, kind of a combination of the global bridegroom fast that happens out of IHOP out of Kansas City, and then what Mahesh Shavda's ministry does with the all-night watch of the Lord. So, exciting times. Lord, I just pray you bless Dr. Jacque. Lord, that you would just speak through him and that kryptonite would be killed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just because you saw the book. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Killing my thunder already. We're going to have one quick announcement while everyone's in here before we go to Kingdom Kids. And then we're going to listen to a song. Judah wanted to share a song with the kids on your way out. Josiah's like, oh, great. I know what that is. So we're going to watch a real quick video. But first, I just wanted to show you this book, Killing Kryptonite. So this book has had a profound impact on my life. I started reading it last January, actually bought it January 1st. Was like, this is going to be a new year in 2018. And it took me a whole year to get through it. And now reading it yet again. Frontline Training Center, in conjunction with Frontline Worship, School of Worship, is going to be putting on the group class for this book series. So we're inviting everyone, whether you're part of the School of Worship or not, just anyone and everyone from the church who considers this their home church to be a part of it. And let me encourage you to be a part of it. I really believe it's going to impact our individual lives. I believe it's going to impact our lives as a church community because it's a message that's really timely for not just our church, but for the church body at large. So we're going to watch a quick video from John Bevere to stir you up, to encourage you to sign up.
Thank you.
If you look at Superman and a Christian, there are striking similarities. He drew his strength from the sun, we draw our strength from the sun. He's from another world, we're from another world. He liberated the oppressed, we liberate the oppressed. But there was a substance, and it was called kryptonite, that neutralized his powers and made him weaker than a normal human being. Now that's fictional, and we all know about it. There is a spiritual kryptonite that literally neutralizes our ability to change our world of influence. What is that kryptonite, and how do we destroy it? That is what I'm addressing in this book. We can destroy it and totally eradicate what weakens us so we can change our world of influence.
So if there is a substance in our lives that's weakening us and destroying our ability to impact the world around us, I think all of us would be in agreement that we want to eradicate that from our lives. So to find out more, you'll have to attend the class. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass this around. We can start in the front row and go from there. Here's what I need to know. And if someone else could grab these and pass them out. Who would like to? Saya, you want to do it? Judah? No? Me? We have lots of me's. What I need to know is if the dates that we have set aside for the school of worship work for the rest of the church, then we're just going to do it all together because that makes sense, right? Plus, we're a big family and it'll be fun. If the dates do not work, meaning like, hey, I can't do Sunday afternoons because me and Aunt Susie get together for a potluck lunch every Sunday afternoon, and we have a large enough group that want to do it on another time, then we can arrange that as well. So if you're interested and you want to sign up for the class, put your name, your phone number, and email down. If the Sunday dates that are on this sheet work out for you, put a star or some mark, a smiley face, a big check mark, hashtag, whatever you want to put on there, put it on there. If you're in the School of Worship, you're already signed up, so you don't have to put your name on there. And then, the people that do not have books, you are now responsible if you're a part of the class, if you've signed your name on that paper and getting this book. You can go to John Bevere's website, you can go to Amazon, you can ask me, you can buy it electronically, you can go to christianbooks.com, whatever you need to. I don't know if he's looking for money or what down there, but I don't have any there, sorry bud. My phone, okay. So you're responsible for getting the book. And now I'm going to encourage you, you're going to want to do that sooner than later, because on the page you'll see that we handed out, each session you're actually wanting to read the chapters before you get there. So the first session is February 17th. You're going to want to have gone through chapters 1 through 3 by that point. So it is now January, and February is only a month away, so you're going to want to grab that book. If you're interested. If you have any questions, contact me. If you don't have my phone number or email, ask someone around you. They probably do, or just find me. Questions on that? Questions? All right. Well, as we release the Kingdom Kids, we have the newest member of Frontline Worship Group with a debut song that they wanted to play for you. Can you guys play that You Free Me song? And then the Kingdom Kids can listen for as long as they have patience for, and then you're welcome to head that way. right, kiddos. You're released. Kingdom kids it is. You worshipers. So that song's to encourage all of you children to be amazing worshipers that you are. When you're preaching and you're a dad, you're allowed to, you know, show off your children. All right, well, let's pray. I'm yours, Lord. Take me, change me. If I'm yours, Lord, then you have every right to take me and to change me because I willingly give myself to you. Father, we just thank you so much for this morning. God, we are excited to hear your word for us today. Father, I just pray that you would use me, God, to release your word today. Holy Spirit, just take every single word and just cause it to penetrate our hearts, penetrate my heart, penetrate each of our hearts, God. And just thank you for the opportunity just to be able to speak to these amazing people, Lord. I thank you that each one of them loves you, and so they're set up to receive your word this morning because they're in love with you. They're set up this morning to receive all that you have because they're in love with you, Father. We just pray for a clarity of your spirit this morning to come across. We just pray for a clarity of hearts to receive it. And Father, when we receive your word, it changes us every single time. So we just thank you, Holy Spirit, that our hearts are ready, that we're excited, we're expectant in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I teach at School of Worship, we're all sitting in the same room, kind of close to each other, and I ask a lot of questions because it's a small group atmosphere. Thankfully, this is a small group atmosphere, so I can do sort of some of the same things. But one of the questions I want to ask you guys to start off is, and just shout it out, I'll repeat it on the recording, is what message or messages or what themes do you feel, because all of you have sat through these, were preached in 2018?
Dying to self.
Dying to self. That's been preached for 10 years or longer. But yes, so you are right, my friend. Humility, dying to self. Go to the nations. The courts of heaven. Offense. So getting rid of it, right? The tongue. The tongue? Maturing. Unity. The ship. Generational, I heard. Repentance. Jamie's like, yes, I got the right word. I know it. It's her birthday, so she's gonna get all the revelation. She was texting me the other night and saying, oh yeah, that's right. You're preaching. It must be an amazing message if you're allowed to preach on my 30th birthday or something like that. Oh, she gets the whole day. And then boom. So yeah, I told her that, you know, in texting words, that basically the Lord was going to anoint me solely for her benefit today. Nobody else. So if Jamie doesn't get the message today, we're all in trouble. So some kind of common themes there about, you know, going lower, repenting, being humble, and then that taking us to the nations, right? Is that the same message that's been preached for longer than 2018? Yes. So those are similar things that we hear all the time. Are those hard messages to hear sometimes? Yes. The flesh. Sometimes. So why would the Lord do that? So parents, Parents, why do we say the same things to our children multiple times? So one reason may be that we haven't got it yet. To emphasize it, absolutely, to show them that it's important. So we have to ask ourselves, okay, is this message coming forth from the pulpit because the people up in the pulpit really want to preach on those things time and time and time again? You think our pastors are like, yes! What I'm thinking I'm going to withhold for a second. Yes, I'm so excited I'm preaching dying to self this morning. I'm going to get those guys and they need to repent. You know, do you think that's how they feel when they come up here? Withhold your comments, some of you. I know what you're thinking. But in general, people don't get excited about, you know, preaching on those topics, right? So then why would it be the Lord, not our choices, why would it be the Lord that's bringing that forward? So maybe we haven't got it. Is that fair to say that? That it's possible that the same message is coming forth because we haven't got it yet? That's not a bad thing. Think about the Israelites and the disciples. They needed told the same thing time and time and time again. And it wasn't because Jesus was like smacking them upside the face saying, you know, you didn't get it yet. You didn't get it yet. It was because he loves us and loves them. He's like, I want you to get it. So we're going to review this yet again. Emphasis. Okay. What's maybe some other reasons? What do we hope when our children learn something that they then ultimately do? So our children, we teach them something, they grow up and they have children. So yeah, pass it on. So maybe some of the reasons why we're, you know, really that's a theme that comes across is because that's the DNA of who we are as a family, and as a family, we need to be able to teach that and live it and walk it out and pass it on to others, to our children, to our children's children, and to the nations. So maybe that's just a message that we're trying to get so we can pass it on. And then the last thing that I want to propose as maybe a reason why, and that's what's going to lead us into the message here, is what was the message that preceded Jesus' first coming? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay? So is it possible that a reappearance of that theme will come before Jesus' second coming? Right? So at his first coming, we had John the Baptist. Is it possible that before his second coming, the same message is going to arise again in the church and in the world at large? And you guys can think about that. So it may be this is just yet another sign of the end times, right? We had weird-looking dude. You know, I always imagine with like a burly, hairy chest, camel's hair, you know, eating locust, kind of out in the desert, you know, crying out. So we had weird people before Jesus came preaching a message. We have weird people before Jesus will come a second time preaching the message. So I want to look today a little bit at the ministry of John the Baptist and then how it relates to us today. All right. So if you have a Bible, we're going to look at all the accounts of John the Baptist quickly. Luke 1 is where we're going to start. So if you got a Bible, open it to Luke chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 39. So the first kind of mention of John the Baptist and his it was in utero. Well, it was prophesied even beforehand, but as far as, you know, John the Baptist almost out of the womb. And it's when Mary visits Elizabeth, right? So it says in verse 39, "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth." So remember, Elizabeth is has John the Baptist in the womb. Mary has Jesus in the womb. And neither of them know that beforehand. "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.'" So they're just in the presence of each other in the womb, spirit to spirit, and there's a connection between Jesus and John the Baptist. And it, so much so, the Spirit of God just prophetically utters out of Elizabeth, who didn't know Mary was pregnant at that time, and encourages Mary that the things that God has spoken to her are going to come true. And then if we go on to the birth of John the Baptist, verse 57, "Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias." So you guys remember Zacharias was mute. He couldn't speak because he didn't believe the Lord. So they typically would name the son after the father or another relative in the family. And so they were going to consult Zacharias, but he was mute. But the Lord had told them both what the name was going to be. So his mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by his name." So they made signs to his father what he would have called, what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet, because that's how he was communicating, and wrote saying, "His name is John." So they all marveled. And immediately his tongue was opened, his mouth was opened, his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill of the country of Judea. So just his birth and naming all of a sudden caused a stirring. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. And we could keep going. Zacharias now has his mouth loosed, and just like Elizabeth did, now he starts to prophesy. Spirit fills him and says all these amazing things. "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spoke to us by the holy prophets," and et cetera, and starts telling about what God's going to do. And then he gets down to talk about his son. "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For," this is in verse 76, "for you will go before the face of the Lord and prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high," Jesus, "has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So his dad starts prophesying what he's going to be doing. "So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation in Israel." So this is all before John has done any ministry. His birth is just stirring things up, the prophetic's letting loose. And keep in mind, in those days, that wasn't extremely common. So this is all a preparation for Jesus to come ultimately, but this is also a preparation for John to kind of to lead the way. So now we come to the actual account of John the Baptist preparing the way, Luke chapter 3, verse 1. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea in the region of Trachonitis. To me, it sounds like a medical illness. Trachonitis. My trachon is inflamed. But anyway, in Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene. While Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. So the word of the Lord came to John, son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So his message was, repent for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, and this is from Isaiah 43 through 5, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. How do you like to be in that church service? So the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none, and he who has food, let him do likewise. Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what is appointed for you. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, what shall we do? So they said to him, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. Now as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I who is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out the threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And with many other exhortations, he preached to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for all the evils which Herod had done, also added this above all, that he shut up John in prison. So John got put in prison because it wasn't popular to tell the king and the Tetrarch that you're sinning and you need to repent. So Matthew 3, 1 through 12, you can look at. It's very similar to the account in Luke. And now let's go over to John 1. So we're going to read all the accounts in the Gospels. We're going to skip Matthew for today. So John 1, verse 6. This will just give us a flavor of John the Baptist. John 1, 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. So now we start to see some connections here. His message was repent for the remission of sins. The purpose of that message was so that he would bear witness of Jesus, so that all through him might believe in Jesus. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Hang on to that one for a second. The person who made the world then came into the world was not known or recognized by the world. Let's jump down to verse 19. Now this is the testimony of John, which the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? Who do you say? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water." So interesting. You start to see his message was repent. We start to see the purpose of his message is to reveal Jesus so that people can see Jesus and believe. All right, then we're going to end with the last account in Mark chapter 1. So Mark 1, starting in verse 1. Now, Pastor Mary Pat probably 4 to 6 weeks ago preached from Mark 1. So this will be a little familiar to you. Mark 1, 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So right after he says the beginning of the gospel, he starts to talk about John the Baptist. So think about that for a second. That's part of the gospel message. "As it is written in the prophets, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you? The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And he preached, saying, 'There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.' And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to him. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" So repent. Number one, there's a specific order, and then believe in the gospel. So we can see here that the ministry of John the Baptist was to reveal Jesus, and then Jesus continued on the same message that John the Baptist was preaching. One question I started to ask myself was, if I'm God, why in the world Do I need someone to prepare the way for me? I'm God. I can come in with, you know, the biggest light show, the biggest fog entrance that you've ever seen. Lightning flashing, flying through the clouds, angels all around me in glory, and there will be no question who I am. So the Son of God's entrance into the world that we celebrated on Christmas is very amazing to me. And we've heard people talk about this in recent messages, and Darlene sharing at Mission Training Weekend, just how amazing it is for Jesus to come as a baby. Well, why did Jesus need John the Baptist to prepare the way? And one of the things that struck me from a lot of these passages, multiple places, is that Jesus actually came into the world and people didn't recognize him. So that's pretty amazing to me. The Son of God, God himself, coming into the world and he's not even recognized. John even said himself, I didn't know it was Jesus, but that it was revealed to me by the Spirit, and when I saw the Spirit on Jesus. So Jesus doesn't ask us to repent and give us something hard to do. These messages aren't coming across to us because God needs them. They're not coming across to us because our pastors need us to do something. They're not coming across to control our lives. The reason why they're coming across is because without repentance, we cannot see Jesus. We cannot believe in Jesus. The ministry of John the Baptist was for the people. It wasn't because God needed someone to prepare his way. It was because the people needed their hearts prepared for Jesus, to see Jesus and receive the fullness of his message. God could have came down in a light and glory show, but if our hearts aren't ready to receive it, if our hearts aren't ready to then walk it out, then we can make up a bunch of things. We do it now. That person's healed of blindness. It was placebo effect. It's like, wait, you just saw a miracle in front of your eyes. Jesus did miracles and people didn't believe him. Well, he's not really the Christ. Well, is it easier for me to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up off that mat and walk? But so that you know I have power to forgive sins, I'm going to command this person to rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. But then afterwards, the religious leaders are murmuring among themselves. He doesn't have power to forgive sin. He doesn't. And we do that kind of stuff. We miss Jesus all the time. So we talk a lot about without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's Hebrews 11:6, right? So I want to propose today that without repentance, it's impossible to believe. Without repentance, it's impossible to have the faith that we need to have to please God. Because John the Baptist came and said, repent and believe. If we skip the repenting part, we actually can't see Jesus to believe. So when there's things in our lives that we're asking Jesus for, and we're saying, I want to believe, or I'm struggling with X, Y, and Z to believe, there's a strong chance it's because we haven't repented to prepare our hearts to believe, to then receive. So if we go to Hebrews, and we We were just talking about Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 3 to see why this is the case. How can you miss the Son of God? How can you miss God? So Hebrews 3, we're going to start in verse 7. It says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." So this is from Psalm 95. This is a quote talking about how the Israelites in the wilderness were seeing God move miraculously, provide them with manna, provide them with water, etc., etc., and yet they still strayed away in their hearts from crazy stuff like building a calf, you know, out of their earrings and their gold bracelets and worshiping the calf when the real God of heaven is shaking the mountain and thunder and lightning and speaking to them through Ten Commandments. And because they didn't want to draw near to the Lord in their hearts because they were afraid, then they worshiped a golden calf. They made a god for themselves. Two, when God promises them the promised land and they see giants and they get afraid and say, we can't go. I mean, this is what was happening with the Israelites. And this is just depicting the condition of their hearts. So with that context, the writer of Hebrews says to us then in verse 12, "Beware, brethren." Brethren means that you are a brethren or a sisterin. So you're in the family here. He's not talking to, you know, people that don't know him. "Beware, brethren, lest there be in you, in any of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily." So we're getting exhortations weekly. And sometimes we're complaining about it. "I don't want to hear that message of repentance again and die to myself and fast." He's saying, do it every day. Why? "Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold to the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." So we've become partakers of Christ, but we need to hold fast what we had from the beginning in confidence to the end. "While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Parting of the sea, saving you from the Egyptians with, you know, pillars of fire and leading you with clouds." I mean, these are the people who rebelled. "Now, with whom he was angry 40 years, was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness, and to whom he did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief." So, unbelief is sin. I think sometimes, at least I thought, like, okay, unbelief is just I don't have strong enough faith. So I need to, like, get stronger in the faith. And I'm reading through this and seeing, actually, not believing God is just sin. It's not like I need to work harder to get more faith. It's I need to repent of my unbelief. right? They didn't enter into the promises of God for them because of unbelief. And we can see that in verse 12, they call it an evil heart. When I don't believe God, I have an evil heart of unbelief. And what happens? Well, we see it very easily in verse 13. When we don't repent, our heart is hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So a hardened heart causes spiritual blindness, and then we can't see. Think about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know, that were coming out to John the Baptist, and he's saying, "You brood of vipers, who warned you? Don't just come here and listen to my message. Bear the fruits that are indicative that you have really repented." And these people, Jesus is walking among them and they don't see him. It's God in the flesh. They don't see him. Why? Because their hearts were hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. They were spiritually blind. The only way for that to come off is for them to repent. That's why the message was there. Repent so you don't miss out on Jesus coming, so you can believe him and receive all the fullness of what he has. And then it talks about the deceitfulness of sin. So deceitfulness, another way you could say it is the deception of sin. Deception is spiritual blindness. We don't see God as he really is. And we don't see things properly, even to the extreme of calling evil good and good evil. That happens more than we realize. Because of how amazing and good God is, there's a lot of things we attribute to God he has nothing to do with. And there's a lot of things that God has a lot to do with and we're not recognizing it. It's because of the deceitfulness of sin. So, why would he put this in here if it's not a problem? It's a problem. It's a problem for all of us, right? That's why we're hearing these messages again and again and again. It's not because anyone's trying to be hard on the congregation or telling you you're doing something wrong. It's because we don't want to let our hearts become hard in any facet. And we don't want to not be able to recognize Jesus. We don't want to become spiritually blind. I mean, look in verse 7. Verse 13, verse 15, it says it again, today, if you were to hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And again in verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. And in 15 again, today. Why would we have to do something daily if it's not really a big problem? It's because it's so easy. It's so easy for all of us. And why does he say today? It's because the longer we wait, the harder our hearts become. The longer we have knowing things that we need to repent of, sin and unbelief, the harder our hearts become, the less likely we're actually going to repent, and the more likely we're going to fall away from the Lord. I mean, there were people that walked with Jesus every day, and they betrayed him. Right? So the reason why it's today is because we can't afford to wait. We should have a healthy fear. We could be deceived. We could have a hardened heart if we allow sin and unbelief in our lives. Anybody! If you're holding a microphone, preaching just as much. Anybody. So we had a... They're having fun. We're having fun. We had back on a trip to Ghana many, many years ago, I think in the, kind of the early to mid-2000s. We were at Bethel Retreat Center, and I remember we were talking about this concept, repent on the spot. You guys remember those that were there? And it was just like, as soon as you realize it, there, don't wait. I was wrong. Sorry. I had unbelief. Forgive me. Soon as you recognize it, I'd love to say I lived that really well, but I haven't in parts of my life. I can probably say you haven't in parts of your life. Because when we allow those things to stay there because of all of the different reasons, pride and et cetera, and we hold on to that, I'm right, no, you're really wrong. Yes, I'm right, no, you're really wrong. Then if we don't repent on the spot, our hearts can become hard. So unbelief is actually spiritually blindness because I don't see God for who he is. So it's sin, like we talked about. Well, we can also see this deception, this hardness of heart. This was the tactic of Satan with Eve in the garden, right? It's nothing new. This is the very thing that the enemy used to draw mankind away from God in the beginning. He said things like, did God really say? So he questioned God's word, challenged, said, you will not surely die, even though God said you will surely die. You will not surely die. So why don't you question God's word, and then I'm going to tell you it's not true. And then, see, God knows that when you eat it, you're going to be like him, knowing good and evil. So let's question God's word, and then I'm going to take you another step. Let's directly contradict God's word, and then let's show you that actually God's trying to withhold something from you. Because if you have it, it will be good in your life. It's the same tactic. He deceived Eve that way. And so when man took an act of his and her will to turn away from God and walk away from God and not believe his word and completely reject and disobey his command, that was an act of man's will, the entrance of sin, why we have this problem from the get-go. So repentance then is actually doing the exact opposite. I'm turning back with my will to God. And I'm reversing all that just took place here in turning away from God. So repentance is a change of heart that actually produces a behavior, a choice, something with your will that is noticeable, and the fruit of that will show it for what it is. And that's how we can tell if we really repented. If we say we've repented and our life is no different, we have not repented. Because our heart, if it's really changed, our will show and be in line with that. So repentance is an act of the will. I don't have to feel like it. I don't have to even think that it's something I want to do or a good idea. I just have to agree with my will before the Lord that he's right. His word is right, and I'm going to surrender to that and then make a 180 with my life. And the more we do it, and the more we practice it, and the better and quicker that we can do it, the better it will be for us. Even at the desire and thought level. Man, I want that. No, you shouldn't want that. God, forgive me. I shouldn't even think that I want that. Help me. Purify me. It's done. You've repented. Then if it comes back again and you feel like I want to take a step further, God help me. No, I do not want to take a step that way. I shouldn't even want that. Why do I want that? God, I don't want that because it's not good for me because you say in your word it's not good for me. So I trust you. I believe in you. I don't need that. I don't want that. And we turn ourselves away, even at the desire level. Then we don't have to get to the will level. And we could talk all about, and you know, the scriptures about when desire is conceived, it's birthed into sin and all of that. You know the process. It's, you know, we've taught on those kind of things before. You can see it in the Garden of Eden. But the point is that repentance, because it was an act of the will to sin, it's an act of the will actually to not believe. It's not a passive thing. It's a choice. We need to have an act of our will to do a 180 and then believe. But if we don't repent and walk that direction, we can't believe. We cannot walk this direction and then believe. That's the whole point of today, if you didn't get that. You cannot believe if you don't repent. You cannot receive for what you believed if you don't first repent. Because if that was the case, John the Baptist would have never been sent. Jesus would have never said, repent and believe. Mark 1:1 wouldn't have said, this is the beginning of the gospel. John the Baptist on the scene. The gospel message includes his message. So if there's an area that we are struggling with unbelief, trusting God, chances are there's an area where we need to look before the Lord and repent. And there may be hindrances to that. There may be wounds, there may be fear, there may be hurt. I'm not negating all of that, but ultimately, my unbelief, my lack of trust in God is a sin. If God says X, Y, and Z, then, and what did we hear from Mel? Promise given, promise kept, right? Then that's who he is. If I don't believe that, and if my life doesn't line up with that truth, it's sin. It's missing the mark. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I've just missed the mark of how glorious Jesus is. So this should not be something that we run away from. This should be something we are running full force into. It's a privilege because repentance allows us to see again. Man, I'm confused. I don't see this. Repent. You will see again. Repentance allows us to believe again because then we can see God how he is. Man, I don't trust God in that area. Repent. You will learn to trust. Because you will lay down every time he says, this is who I am. Okay, I'm having a hard time trusting that. Whatever that may be, my healer, my provider, my lover, my all in all, whatever areas, that's who you say you are. I'm going to believe you. And I'm going to kneel my life and bow my life to that area of who you say that you are. And God never fails. So he's never going to fail you in that. Repentance allows us to receive the fullness for which Jesus came. That's why John the Baptist came. So this morning, I want to encourage us that repentance is not a bad message that we should be shying away from, even if we hear it again and again and again and again. It's actually a message that we should run into with our lives. Because we need to see Jesus how he is. We need to believe Jesus how he is. And we need to receive the fullness of why he came. So, one of the reasons why this Killing Kryptonite book was so impactful was because takes us through repentance, and it takes us through what idolatry is. Anything above Jesus in any way. And it unpacks some very difficult things that we deal with as the human race and the keys to overcoming them. And it really does bring about a new, refreshing strength. Because as he talks about, the potential for why we exist here on earth is so much bigger and grander and larger than we actually are walking in. Now, here in this house, you know, we feel like we're doing an amazing job and a good job most of the time. And God loves us. He's very proud of us. We are amazing. He thinks that we're amazing. with that, he wants us to reach the full potential for which, why we're here on earth. And it's ultimately to love Jesus, to honor Jesus, to bring him glory. But it's also to destroy the works of the enemy and bring others into the kingdom so they can do the same. So my effectiveness to do that is going to try to be hindered by the enemy every single day. And I don't want to give him territory in my life so that my effectiveness for the kingdom is lessened. So it's not a one time I just say, okay, I'm sorry about that, God, and I repent. But it's something that you earnestly desire and you earnestly pray for. God, give me the gift and the ability of being able to repent. And then let me bear the fruits of repentance in my life. Pray that prayer. If you don't see it, you are still struggling with a certain area. God, give me the gift of repentance in this area. I choose to repent with my will and turn it around, but I need your Spirit's power to fully activate that and make that a reality in my life. And I want to bear the fruits of repentance. So I really encourage us, I'd love to see you all in the course. It's not about a book. It's really not. I want to encourage you how much impact that it's had on my own life and just seeing things that were there that needed exposed and then seeing the Holy Spirit just, you know, expose those things and then seeing this reality. Oh, wow, those are things I didn't see. I couldn't see. Wasn't that, I was asking, let me see. And God was not, I wasn't able to see. I was blind. But then repentance happened, and even though I prayed that let me see prayer a million times, I just repented, then you see. It's like, okay, I wasted a lot of time praying that prayer. I needed to repent, and then I saw. God, I'm struggling with belief in this area and trusting you. Help me. Strengthen me. Help my unbelief. I believe, God. Help my unbelief. I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe. Help my unbelief. Still struggling. You repent, and then you're like, wow, I trust God. So this morning, that's what I have. We need to repent so we can see again, so we can believe again, so we can receive again in every area. You may be receiving and believing in 99.9%. You know, if that's you, pray for me, and then you can pray for the people afterwards. But we may be in that area, and then that, you know, 0.1% is an area that we're missing. It may be whatever percentage. It doesn't matter. The answer is still the same. Just like Jesus said at the beginning of his ministry, repent and believe. Repent first, and then you're able to believe. So I don't think I'm going to make an altar call today for that. I'm not feeling led to do that, but I do want us to chew on this. And I really hope that we will all come out to the course so we can really see the fruit of the work taking place in that. So let's just bow our heads and let's end. So Father, I thank you so much that even though we were the ones that completely turned away from you and sinned and were tricked into not believing you were who you say you are. In a perfect environment in the Garden of Eden, walking with you, talking with you, given everything, we were still tricked and we walked away. That you have created a way, Jesus, for us to make a choice to repent, to turn, to change our way of thinking, to change our way of doing that would line up with your kingdom. We actually have the ability to do that. We've been given the grace to do that. It's there. You didn't leave us in our sin. You didn't leave us in our darkness. You rescued us. But for us to receive the fullness of your message, you sent a messenger before you. Just like at a wedding or when a king enters the room, they say, "Will you all stand? Now the bride is going to enter." That little announcement turns our attention, creates an awareness of what's about to happen so we can experience the fullness of it and receive the fullness of it. Just like the trumpeter and the heralders announce, "The king is coming. All arise." Everyone's attention turns on to that. John the Baptist's message of repent heightened the awareness and the hunger of the Messiah to come. There's one that's coming after me. Guys, I know this is awesome. You're repenting. Your sins are being forgiven. You're feeling clean. But this isn't it. The one coming after me, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. He's the one. Jesus, it's about you. You're the one. He's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He's going to fill you with fire. But we can't be filled with the Holy Spirit and fire if we haven't repented. We can't be filled with the fullness of a radical faith, life of faith in the supernatural if we haven't repented, because we can't see it. We can't believe it. We can't receive it. So, Father, this house, we are standing for that supernatural, fasted, missional, crazy lifestyle. It's not possible on our own, and it's definitely not possible if our hearts are not in complete surrender and full repentance to you. Not to mention, there is nothing good outside of you that should and would even tempt us anyway. Believing you, receiving you, living in all of the fullness of you is the greatest life imaginable. We just have to actually see it. We just actually have to believe it. We just actually have to receive it. We actually have to believe the Word of God, just how it is written. We actually just have to believe that you are who you say you are. We just actually have to believe, Holy Spirit, that you can do anything in and through us, and then live it out. So, God, I pray that today any blind spots in our hearts would be exposed for what they are. I pray that this message would cause us to get excited about repenting. Get excited about hearing the messages of dying to self and laying our lives down and surrendered. Because we can see it for what it actually is. It is an encouragement from a loving God. It is a discipline in a healthy, good way from a loving Father, just like we do with our children. We say, "Don't you ever run out in the middle of the road," because we don't want them to get hit by a car. We implore with them, "You need to walk in kindness. Don't treat your brother and sister like that." Just like a loving father and mother corrects their children, helps their children walk through life. God, that's what these messages are for. So, Lord, if we have had a struggle, just as Pastor Bill put up those 10 words and added a few extra that baby Christians tend to struggle with. If we've had a struggle with those words and those messages, God, can we just repent of that? So we can see that those things are beneficial for our lives and for the kingdom and for others' lives. It's good for us. It's good for the kingdom. So any areas, God, where there's been spiritual blindness, Lord, where there's been just black spots in our spiritual vision in our lives, I just pray that, God, you would just use this day to expose those. And then you'd give us the grace, and you have given us the grace to repent. And I just want to read one last scripture to leave us with, and then we will go. So James chapter 1, verse 21 says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." I love this scripture because it gives us exactly the outline of what we're talking about here. First, repent. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. And receive with meekness a soft heart that's created by that repentance. Receive with meekness the implanted word. The word of God that he's put in there. The seed of the word that has life and is able to bloom into a tree and bear fruit, the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So, Father, may that be us today. We receive with meekness your word, the words that are being spoken, because, God, you've prophesied for 2019 some amazing things. And let me challenge us that those things are conditional on our heart's response. The meekness for which we can receive the word of God, the implanted word, able to save our souls. Father, I just pray for a super blessing over each person today that have sat through the message, that have sat through the years of teaching. God, just pray that you would just bring to life the many years of implanted words in their souls, the many years, God, of things that have been deposited them. God, make them come to life in 2019. Make them bear the fruit of them this year, God. That this year, God, would be the year where some of those dormant prophecies, some of those dormant words, some of those places, God, that haven't been activated but have been prophesied, that this would be the year, God, that they come to pass. Because this will be the year that we lay down more than ever. This will be the year that we receive your word more than ever. This will be the year that we repent, believe, and receive more than ever, God. Let it be, Lord. Let it be. In Jesus' name. Amen.